everyone. Thanks for joining us today and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. If you're a regular listener, then you've probably seen me a time or two by now, but I am your newest co-host, Laura Benson. Today, I am so excited to have Scott Fagan joining me. Scott is the Chief Credit Officer of Blue Sky Bank in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So welcome, Scott, to Banking Matters.
Thanks.
I'm really looking forward to hearing your input and perspective. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your experiences and just kind of how you got into banking?
All right. Well, I went to school in Oklahoma, and then I went to graduate school at SMU in Dallas. And I had a mentor in graduate school when I was getting my MBA that was a bank executive in Dallas. And I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I got out of graduate school, but I knew I wanted to do something to help people and help them with their finances. And just in talking with him, he just showed me a lot of things about banking that were things that matched up well with my personality. And I had some entrepreneurship kind of in my background a little bit. And so I felt like it was going to be a good match. So I went to work for a corporate bank in Dallas, and it was about $100 billion bank. It was publicly traded. And I was eventually a senior analyst after going through a training program. And that was really good. It was good to be on the senior analyst side and be able to train. I had 40 people that I was responsible for training that were going to be future lending officers in the bank. And so I thought that was a good stint to really hone in on my skills and learn the credit side. And so after that, I became a lender and enjoyed that. But there's always something that was kind of missing on the corporate banking side. I felt like I was a little more kind of sometimes not being able to give as much input. There's usually bigger groups at the table of bankers. And I had a friend that was a community banker and convinced me to go over to the community banking side and add a little more to the goals that people were trying to get to in their businesses. And so I really enjoyed community banking and helping businesses solve problems. And that's what I've been doing for 30 years now since then. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's as long as I've been alive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And so you're in Oklahoma now, but you said you started out in Oklahoma and now you're back, but you've kind of bounced around since then, right? So, and you're a new empty nester, if I remember correctly, too.
That is right. That is right. Yeah. We bounced around a lot. We went from Texas to, I went to a bank in Arizona that also was the bank was based in Kalispell, Montana. And so I was with that bank for several years in the Arizona market and in the Montana market. And we were just too far away from family. And I have a new grandson in Tulsa here. And so we just wanted to get back further south and get closer to family. And I came across a great opportunity at the bank that I'm at now with Blue Sky Bank here in Tulsa.
Oh, that's great. I don't know a whole lot of people that are willing to cash in Montana for Oklahoma, but I'm sure you probably melted this summer. Not quite used to the heat anymore.
Yeah, I had a taste of Oklahoma back when I was in college, and I think I forgot how hot it does get in the middle of the summer. And so my wife and I have joked around a little bit that we feel like the people from Montana are melting a little bit. We got so used to the cold up there, but it's been a good transition, and really, really enjoy the team that I'm with here. And it's been a great transition both for our business and for family.
Yeah, well, good for you. And it sounds like your journey in the banking industry moved you around a little bit, you know, at the leadership level. So you've been in, you said, Arizona, Montana, Oklahoma. So I'm just curious, when you come into a new bank, and on top of that, a new state, especially in the lending area, just what are some of the first things that you dig into to kind of familiarize yourself with them?
Well, I was in some leadership positions in all those stops, and I learned a lot from different CEOs, CFOs, different people that I worked with on those management teams. And I feel like I was able to learn a little bit along each stop and kind of hone in a little bit better on what I want to look at when I go into a new situation. And so I would say that the very first and most important thing is to learn more about the team and about the people. That's what makes up a bank. I mean, in the end, we all have very similar banking services and products, and the people are what make a bank different. And so I love to hone in on the people and the team and get to know them and learn more about the culture of the bank. And then I, you know, dig in on the number side, usually through call reports or reviewing maybe a last exam that the bank had, you know, a strategic plan. I asked for a strategic plan when I came here just to see kind of what that was. And then really getting to know the board members and who they are and what they do in the community and how they affect the bank. And then lastly, digging in on procedures and just understanding how the flow of each department works and who has what responsibility and really how it affects people internally in the bank and how it affects primarily the customers of the bank.
Mm-hmm. And there's good procedures and sometimes there's no procedures, you know. I've worked you know, in audit for a while, and so sometimes it's like, well, we don't have any procedures, we just have policies. And then policies can also be subjective when it comes to, you know, how detailed you want to get, because if you put it in writing, you know that your examiners are going to expect you to do it. And so, I mean, without policies and procedures, well, especially procedures in place, then that leaves a lot up to interpretation with your policies.
It really does. And you find that people are a little bit lost in what they're supposed to be doing. And I am a big fan of really going through all the procedures and protocols that are in place. And I feel like there's always room for improvement. Even if you have designed those procedures, you should always try and dig in a little bit further, you know, at least annually, I think, because things change so quickly in this business, just to figure out what do you need to do that's a little bit different from what you set out to do the first time.
Yeah, and especially with like the difference of procedures, like usually banks will have a review process for their policies on an annual basis, but sometimes procedures get forgotten about. And so they'll have updates be made to the policies, the procedures don't get updated, and sometimes they're years old, and then you ask a question and they're like, well, we don't even do it that way anymore anyways. And I love that you made the comment about looking at like prior exam reports, because my compliance nerd brain loves to go there, because hey, if there's anything that we can fix as far as a problem, it's going to be there. And that's where you want to start first, is like, okay, what are the hot buttons that we need to address first? And then do we have that in a procedure somewhere, or should we create that?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because we just recently had an FHLB exam, and we had mixed results in the past for our bank on that exam. And this was going to be a really big exam. There was, I think, 750 loans that we needed to go through. And so we started out in a real collaborative process with the team. And we went through the prior exam. We pulled that prior exam and the one before that, and we went through all the things that were missed in the last exams and focused on those weaker points and tried to design a process to look at the files and go through them and make corrections based on what those findings were in the previous exam. And so we really built a process to go through those 750 loans over about a 3-month period with a bigger group. And we had checklists and we had various things for different types of loans that we came across on the call codes. And after that, we filed our final QCD, you call it, and then they figured out which loans they wanted to actually look at out of that 750, and there was about 100 of them. And it made it much easier for us to then go through those next 100 or those 100 that they picked and even further fine-tune that process that we had developed to find if we had any issues with any of those files. So it was a really good process. And what happened out of that was we created some policies or some procedures on how we want to go forward on a quarterly basis with all of our pledged loans for FHLB and how we're going to go through those, add additional ones, remove loans out of that group. And it was a really good process. We did really good on our exam.
Great to hear.
So we were really happy with that. And that was a real win for our team. And it created something that we can hang on to and move forward with into the future. So it was good.
Well, what a great idea that you kind of called everybody together and tackled it as a team, because a lot of times, you know, that's not always the case. And, you know, me, especially being in the compliance side of banking, you know, there's been some times where, you know, I'll see a procedure and I'm like, yeah, that definitely didn't get ran past compliance at all. Like, we need to change this. And so, you know, we both know that effective written policies and procedures are a key element to a bank's overall compliance management system. So can you kind of just talk a little bit more about that and how you work with compliance and not just maybe necessarily your lending team and looking at policy and procedure changes?
Yeah, I look at compliance as, I mean, they're your coaches that are trying to keep you out of trouble, right? I mean, they're the police. Just like I'm on the credit side, I'm kind of the credit police for the lenders and trying to keep them out of trouble. And so I look at the same thing on compliance. And I think, you know, a good compliance team needs to be approachable and accessible, collaborative. There needs to be some accountability, some training, and they need to be responsive. And so I think I look at compliance as a resource. And as I come across issues that maybe I'm reviewing a loan that I have a question on, I want to be able to pick the phone up and call a compliance officer and ask them their opinion on the loan and should we be treating it differently. Should we structure it differently? And I want the lending team to have the same ability to ask questions and for that approachability to exist between those two teams. So I think that's one thing that's really important. And then I think as you're designing policies, I think it's real important as well. So I'll give you an example. We recently decided to revamp part of our consumer policy, which is a tough one sometimes because there's a lot of fair lending issues that you have to really be on the lookout for. And so we're doing that in conjunction with implementing a new software for our consumer loans. And a lot of it had to do with a lot of the exceptions that we are seeing that we're making for consumer loans, which you don't want to do. And we wanted to figure out a way to stem some of those exceptions that were occurring. And a lot of it was related to pricing on the pricing matrices. There was some confusion at times and there was some confusion on some of the underwriting. And so we went through and I, as a team, included our compliance officer as part of that team. And so what was great about it was she jumped right in the middle of it and helped us rework an entire rate sheet that we ended up making an exhibit to policy. So it was a really good result, and we're still kind of in the middle of it a little bit, but it definitely was very enhanced by having our compliance officer involved in that.
Yeah. And good compliance culture really does come from the top because, you know, we've seen banks where it's like, we're the bad guys and we're out to get them. And we're like, no, that's audit. You know, we're here to help you. And we really want to, you know, the reason that we have internal monitoring is to catch that stuff before audit does. And so if you have that good culture where your loan processors and your tellers and everybody in any facet of the bank can just pick up the phone and make a phone call, that is huge. And it goes a long way. And, you know, you're going to get people that want to learn, they want to do better. You know, they're going to use their resources versus just like trying to figure it out and hide stuff. Or like, if they mess something up, like try to just, you know, sweep it under the rug. So that's such a great comment. And I'm glad that, you know, when you talk to people that are in, you know, the leadership levels and they see the importance of that, it really goes a long way, especially for everybody. So,
yeah, for sure. And it's becoming bigger and bigger. I mean, that's what you do every day. And, there's just every time, you go to a seminar or you talk to somebody, your examiners or, there's just always some new area that they're going to be focusing on. And so to be able to pivot with your compliance team and be able to focus and train on those newer areas, create, as we've been talking about, procedures for how you're going to handle something related to compliance, it's really important.
Yes, definitely. Well, Scott, it's been a fantastic conversation, and there's really so many great takeaways that you have given me and our listeners. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to chat with us and to share your knowledge and experiences. And we always like to ask our guests, you know, what's one piece of advice that you can share with our listeners today that may be needing to make some policy or procedure revisions?
If I had any advice for anyone that is going to be creating any policies or procedures in their bank, it's to start with collaboration. Get your team together and just tell them kind of what your overall vision is of what you want to try and accomplish. Be more high level with it, and then ask them to come up with the ways that you get to the result. And if you do that, you're going to have them buy into whatever procedure you put in place. They own it at that point. And I really believe that that's the best approach, and that's where you should start. Get them all in a room, get a big board, a whiteboard, and just start writing out everything, all the ideas. Don't discount any ideas, because even some of those ideas that you don't think are important really are. And you have to remember that those people that are helping you do that are the ones that are doing it every day. And so they're in the trenches. And so I guess that would be my biggest piece of advice on putting that together on the front end.
Well, that's great advice, because it's so, so true. And there have been so many times, you know, I've worked in a lot of different levels of the lending arena, and sometimes someone thinks it might be a good idea, but they don't have that role. And then the person that has that role is actually like, well, that's going to bog me down. That's going to take twice, you know, the amount of time. So how about we do it this way? So collaboration is huge. So great advice. Thank you, Scott. For those of you listening, if this topic interested you and you maybe want to relook at your bank's written policies and procedures, Compliance Alliance has a great webinar on compliance management system and policy writing that touches on how policies can typically fall short of examiner expectations, available resources for improving your policies, and things you can do to ensure that your policies are both effective for your bank and compliant with agency expectations. So if you want to give it a listen, I've included a link in the description box below for your convenience. Also, you out there listening, if we're always looking for new guests on the podcast, so if you're interested in being a guest, please reach out to us at info@compliancealliance.com, and one of the hosts will reach out to you and line something up. Scott, thank you again so much for joining us today, and that's Banking Matters.
Thanks for having me, Laura.